Welcome to the DorkTopes.com, podcast. Welcome to the DorkTopes.com, podcast.
Welcome again to an action-packed Dorktowns podcast, issue 30. That were The Mighty Caesars, one of Billy Childish's many bands, with Lie Detector, a song that frequently flipped my wig on the many live performances that I attended. And what Billy Childish does is, of course, nothing new. The legendary band The Sonics paved the way for just about every garage band to come, and it's amazing how big the influence of this band still is after 40 years.
Just to find a little girl. up a railroad train. Your kind of love drives a man insane. So look for me walking just any old way. Have a love. Oh, wow, baby, we'll travel.
Heard the theme from The Persuaders, the famous TV series from the early 70s with Tony Curtis and Roger Moore. The Persuaders series ran for one season only, and The Shadows once performed in a movie from another legendary TV series, The Thunderbirds. They made a guest appearance as puppets in the movie Thunderbirds Are Go. And this tune is called Thunderbirds Theme, and note that it is not the tune that accompanied the TV series.
Thank you.
Podcasting is not an easy job, especially when you have a speech flaw like I do. I asked Peter for some info about the peculiar death of Bobby Fuller, and he sent me half a novel. So instead of breaking my tongue over this article, I asked Ernie to read it with his masculine erotic voice. Take it away, Ernie.
Rick Stone, roadie of the Bobby Fuller 4, went over the details of Bobby's last day once again, as he must have done so many times before. On July 17, 1966, Rick and Bobby and two girls who were in town from El Paso were at Bobby's apartment talking and watching TV and drinking beer. Bobby had 5 or 6 beers himself, and he was feeling pretty good. The girls left about 11:30 and Bobby went out shortly thereafter, saying he was going over to this chick's Melanie's place to buy some acid. Now, Jim Reese described her as a hooker who would pretend to be real innocent. Her angle was to make the older guys feel like they seduced her, instead of the other way around. She was romantically linked to a creepy local club owner who supposedly had a lot of friends with broken noses, scars measurable with yardsticks, and outmodeled hats that concealed missing ears and exposed brain tissue. Rick recalls going to a LSD run to Mel's earlier that week with Bobby, and when Bob saw that there was another car in the driveway beside her caddy ragtop, he told Rick to peel out and keep on going, and that it was better if he came back another time. It's not known whether Bobby connected with the young seducer, but it did come to light that Bobby was popping his second six-pack at his building superintendent's pad at 3 a.m. I had fallen asleep watching TV after Bobby left and woke up around 2:30. I went into the kitchen to fix an iced tea and I heard someone going out the front door, but I didn't see who it was. I figured it might have been Bob going out to the car or something. I didn't really stop to think about it. I just went to sleep again. The next morning, Mrs. Fuller woke me up, saying that Bobby hadn't come home yet. I went out to look for his car and it wasn't in the drive or in the garage. I wasn't worried at the time, figuring he just stayed out having a good time. We all had a meeting at Keene's office at 9:30, so I headed over there, but when Bobby didn't turn up by 10:30, we rescheduled to 3:30. He still didn't turn up, so I headed back to the apartment, and that's when I saw all the police cars, and he tried to stop me from going into the drive. Because I saw Bobby's car and I told him who I was, they let me through. Bobby was there lying in the car, all beat up bad and gasoline all over him, and like these burns on him. The cop said that the gas burned his skin in the heat. I knew he was dead. God, it was awful. Incredibly, the paper splashed suicide stories the following day, despite the fact that nothing indicated it. The car hadn't been there in the morning, so what did they suppose Bob did? Drove home late that morning or early afternoon, dosed himself with gasoline, guzzled some as well, beat himself up, and then sat back and died? This is what you call in Quincy lingo as a massive cover-up. Keen hired detectives to figure it all out after it was apparent that the cops were sitting on their butts, but they quit the case. Rick says strange guys busted in Randall's place with pipes and broken bottles a couple of days after Bobby's death, but they were scared away when someone dropped by. Rick almost ran off the road by a car that was following him in the Hollywood Hills. The funeral was scheduled immediately, and Bobby was buried only 4 days after his murder. So much for investigation and all.
Child of sex, and I guess suddenly find myself feeling things that I've never felt. No use to deny it when a child can plainly tell that you got the magic touch of you. I'm caught in a spell. I said yeah, 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 yeah. It seems like magic, baby. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's more like tragic, baby. You got the magic touch. Cast your spell.
Talk about Speed Queen.
Here comes Speed Queen. Talk about Speed Queen.
Here comes Speed Queen.
One of our listeners, mind you one, supports me in my crusade to give Frank Zappa the credit that he deserves. Now this next song was first performed in the 1971 tour and was called The Sofa Suite. In Germany it was performed in German and in Holland in Dutch. Give Me Some Floor Covering Under This Fat Floating Sofa was translated correctly to Geef Mij Wat Vloerbedekking Onder Deze Vette Zwevende Sofa. The song first appeared on the album in 1975 with an instrumental version and a vocal version sang by George Duke. It appeared again on the Zappa in New York album, and that is the version that I'm gonna play.
Thank you.
Crawdaddies with Meet Me in the Bottom, a Howling Wolf song, from which I've played the original in one of the podcasts, come think of it. Brian from Ohio, who is one of our regular stalkers, asked me a couple of times to play the Fleshtones. Well, I thought if I don't respond, he'll just go away, but he didn't and insists and even sent me the song that I should play.
Spend one third of your The playlist for this podcast can be found on www.dorktowns.com.
Tell me that you're mine. Tell me that you're mine. Whoa, whoa. If our love was meant to be and not just end of history, I'm happy to be this way.
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned.
Tell me, my child, what is it that you wish to confess?
Our drummer Peter generally doesn't like hip-hop or dance music, so why he chose Doing the Do by Betty Boo as a contribution for Confessions of a Dork is something that puzzles him as much as the rest of the Dorktones. There is something to say for Betty Boo, though. Although it had no connection with her music at all, her appearance was very 60s, and that must have appealed to our drummer for sure. But the best reason to nominate Betty Boo is that she has written camp all over her. Even her live performance in 1991 in Australia, when she accidentally dropped her microphone on stage, but the music and her singing kept on playing, is a declaration of camp performed into perfection. The audience couldn't appreciate it, but Peter likes her even better for it. In addition to our regular podcasts, we're experimenting, well, our script kiddie Ernie is experimenting, with an enhanced version of our podcast, which is only useful to users of iTunes. With this enhanced thingy, you can skip the boring parts like this and jump straight to the cool songs. Try it and let us know if you like it.
I don't know why I love you. I don't know why I love you. I don't know why I love you, but I love you. Always treat me like a fool, kick me when I'm down, that's your rule. I don't know why I love you, but I love you. Ooh. Never stop your cheating ways with another guy. You laugh in my face. Lord, how long must I be this crazy? 'Cause I love you. Oh, baby, baby, baby.
That was Stevie Wonder, of course, with I Don't Know Why I Love You. And that song was also covered by the Rolling Stones for their Let It Beat album. It didn't make the album, but it was released later by Decca without the Stones' permission on a compilation album. Coincidentally, here are the Rolling Stones with the proof that white men can make soul ballads too, with a little help from Billy Preston though. This song is from the Exile on Main Street double album from 1972. A time when it was very hip to release double albums, and if the Stones had decided to make it just a single LP, it probably would have been the best Stones record ever. Now I especially dig the horns in this song, and even Mick Jagger sounds alright. The song is called Let It Loose.
Move that woman on, on. All dressed up to do you harm. I'm here to
to start all over, I would be wishing today on a four-leaf clover, and leaving would be the last thing on my mind. If I could turn back the hands of time,
I could turn back the hands of time.
Oh, baby,
I could turn back the hands of time.
Oh, darling, I can't hold out much longer, but the pain is getting deep. All the hurt keep getting stronger. But if I had just one more try, I would be ever alone until the day I die, and we would have a love so divine. If I could turn back the hands of time,
I could turn back the hands of time.
Oh baby,
I could turn back the hands of time.
Remember, girl, that I love. Come back home. Your love has been so good to me, baby, and I just realized without it I can't go on. Cause for you're the other half that makes my life complete. If I had one more chance, we'd have a love so sweet, and leaving would be the last thing on my mind. If I could turn back the hand of time.
Oh yeah, the Ramones with Judy as a Punk from their self-titled debut album from 1976. And we end with the Undertones from their self-titled album from 1979 with Wrong Way. Until next time, bye bye.